So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Praise God, praise God. I want you to go with me in your Bible to a very obscure book that I want to talk about a little while today is the book of Genesis. It's going to be hard for some of you to find that book. It is the first book of the Bible in the Old Testament. If you're in the index, you've not gone far enough. If you're in the maps, you've gone too far. So a lot of these new Bibles don't even have the maps in the back anymore, do they? Mine does still does. Amen. Book of Genesis, chapter 32. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's begin reading. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Now I want you to understand something. Here it is. We understand now because we have the foresight or the hindsight of reading the scripture and knowing that it was the angel of the Lord. But he touched him and caused his socket to be out of joint. And while he was hurting, he still would not let go. While he was having an issue, he would not let go of God and said, "No, not until you bless me. I'm hurt, I'm broken, but I will not let you go until you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob." Now, for those of you who don't know, Jacob means liar. Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means deceiver. And so God said, "Because you wrestle with me, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Hallelujah. Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." 31 says, "And so now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip." Thank you, musicians. Father, bless the reading of your word. May we receive what we have need of in this place today. And everybody said amen. I want to talk to you tonight or today about overcoming your limp. Overcoming your limp. Now, Jacob had a limp that caused him to walk differently. Can I tell you that when you encounter God, you will have a different walk than the rest of the world? I'm not talking about swag. I'm not talking about a pimp walk. I'm just talking about a different walk. A different walk in your life. You're going to have a different walk. You won't walk to the same tune as everybody else because you've been touched by the hand of God. The mercy and grace of God makes a difference in our lives. How many in this place know that it was the grace and mercy of God that made a difference in your life? See, that last song, man, that kind of gets a hold of me because I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to come and trade your sorrow for joy. I know what it is to not want to continue on. I know what it is to have everything that most people would want but still have a longing deep down in your soul. Can I tell you that the only thing that can fill that longing is Jesus Christ? Through the strength of the Holy Spirit, We can press through our weaknesses, rise above our insecurities, and overcome our limp. Because many times our limp is an insecurity. Many times our weakness is our limp. Your limp, though, can be a catalyst to stimulate you to knowing God in a greater way, in experiencing the fullness of His glory and His power. Because when God blesses you, even though you have an issue and even though you have a limp, you know that it wasn't by your hand, it was by the hand of God. You begin to recognize that I'm able to stand on my own today, not because I'm all that in a bag of chips, but because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm able to be in my right mind today, not because I've just got it all together, but because He has given me peace in my mind because it was stayed on Him. I'm able to not be addicted today because Jesus come and set me free, and He that the Son hath set free is free indeed. What happened to Jacob after a result of wrestling with God? It is believed that he was left with, many theologians believed, a permanent limp. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, the Bible said that Jacob worshiped while leaning on his staff. His limp, as it were, did not slow him down, but it propelled him forward. It reminded him daily that God was with him and would bless him for the rest of his life. See, when you've been touched by God, I'm not talking about touched by church. I'm talking about touched by God. Now, let me go ahead and say that I believe if God is your father, the church ought to be your mother. That I believe in the assembling of ourselves together. I believe in coming to the house of God. However, let me just tell you that if God is not in the house, then there's no use in going to the house. But I come by to tell you that when you've been touched by God, there's nobody that can talk you out of it. Because you have experienced this thing called Christ. You've experienced this thing of the presence of God. And it reminded Jacob daily that he was blessed by God, no matter that he was walking with a limp. See, some of you think that you're not blessed because you got a limp. Some of you believe that you're not blessed because you ain't got it all together yet. That you still renting. That you still got a broke down car. That you still on a bicycle. You still believe that everything ain't going your way. It doesn't matter. Even with the limp that you have, even with the inadequacies that you have, you can still walk around and declare that I am blessed because I've been touched by God. Your limp, point number one, for those of you taking notes, your limp doesn't have to defeat you. Instead of walking in that realm of overcoming joy, overcoming praise and victory, many Christians choose to live their life with a defeated, deflated attitude and mentality. Now, I want you to notice I chose this word carefully. Many Christians, I didn't put to live their lives, I put choose, because it is a choice. I'm going to make a choice. Now, Jacob had to make a choice that he could live his life thinking about the limp, or let the limp remind him that he wrestled with God. Ah, come on, somebody. So there are people, my God, there are some of you sitting there right now, well, if I didn't have this issue, if I didn't have that, because you have that issue, you was able to touch the hand of God. Without that issue, my God. Stand up, Nicole. This is little Noah. Remember Noah we prayed for who was gone for 35 minutes? This is little Noah. Hallelujah. Listen, Here's what, I don't remember which one of them said it, but one of them said it. They said, we've heard about the but God moments, but now we have a but God. Listen, I would have rather them not have to go through what they went through, but because of what they went through, you will never convince them that there is not a God in heaven, that God didn't come down and touch them because of what they've been through. Thank you, Nicole. I've come by to tell you that your limp is not the end of you. Let the limp, let whatever you're going through, be the catalyst to take you further and take you forward. Pastor, I almost lost my family, but the key word is you almost. Wait a minute, Pastor. I did lose my family. Then you let it be. God bless God. I'm going to have to live with this the rest of my life, but I'm going to hang on to your unchanging hand. I'm going to hold on to you and let this be a catalyst to take me to my next level. Woo! God has made provision for us. But I want you to understand that you've got to choose. God made provision for us to walk and live in the heavenly places with Christ. But what, for whatever reason, too many of us spend our days believing that living abundant Christian life is meant for others. They have the mindset they will never get on top and stay on top. That life will always give them the short end of the stick. Their lot in life is to do without, to have second best, to eat the scraps and to struggle and eat the crumbs from the table. The devil is a liar. Because they have a limp, their dreams will never be fulfilled. Their hopes and their aspirations will fall to the ground, and they will never experience what their heart truly desires. I came by to tell you today that the devil is a liar, and you can fall trapped to that enemy he has set up for you. And I want you to know what a lie that he brings to us for deceitful and debilitating in our lives. The devil is a liar. Don't buy into what the devil's selling, because he is a loser. He's trying to get you to believe that you're a loser, but we are made overcomers through Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be down, but tomorrow is a new day. The word of God tells me that his mercy is new every day. That I might have failed today, but tomorrow is a new day. When a train gets off the track, they don't back it up 7 miles. No, they just put it back on the track where it fell off. Instead of what the devil's trying to tell you, that you're a loser. He is a loser, that you're a nobody, that this is just the way your life was meant to be. The devil's a liar. But Pastor, you don't understand. All right, let me give you this next slide. Ready? Stop it. Quit allowing the devil to talk to you. Stop it. Well, I could never have that. I could never be more than where I am. I could never. Listen to me. Wade, can I use you for a moment? Wade Hughes, how many years ago did you fall? 03. Has it been that long? So 16 years ago, Wade was an air conditioned refrigeration man. And long story short, he fell out of a roof. Somebody came and changed his ladder configuration and didn't know it. And he was up in the roof. When he stepped on the ladder slid out and broke your back or damaged it. Damaged it severely. He will never work again in that arena for the rest of his life. He was good at what he did. And everybody's like, oh my God, what's he going to do? Including me. What's he going to do? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The doctor said, you will never work again. He goes, well, I'll find something that I can do. And can I tell you that today he is the top salesman for Florida Gas. He has, listen, nobody go to him asking for a loan. He's making more money today than he's ever made in his life. Why? Because he didn't let the limp define him or tell him what he was going to be, but he said, I know the God whom I serve, and God's not through with me yet. Why? Because the devil is not in control, but God is. Gather yourself and remember you're a child of the Most High God, made and created in His image. He touches and transforms us into being what He wants us to be. Now, you may be here today and got a limp. You may feel like that you are nothing of significant value. You may have felt defeated before ever started. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even know why I try. Shut up! Everything I try, everything I do, shut up! I may change the title of this message to Shut Up! Zig Ziglar said this, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great. You don't have to be great to start, but you do got to start to be great. How do I start? Putting one foot in front of the other. You start where you are. Well, I'm going to start when I get. No, you start right where you are. You might have to get over there, but you start over there. Whatever it takes, you start where you are. By the power of Jesus Christ, we can rise from the ash heap of life. We can do it. You're a child of God. He has chosen you to win. 1 Corinthians 1, 25 through 27 says, this foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise, and He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. What do you mean? That God chose you. Well, I don't know if I... No, there's something God's chose you to do. Take hold of this. Moses stuttered. Miriam, who danced before the Lord and was a worship leader, had leprosy. Saul of the Old Testament suffered from depression, bouts of insanity, and perhaps maybe even bipolar disorder. Isaac was blind later in life. Leah, remember Leah, Jacob's wife? The Bible said her eyes were weak. One translation said her eyes were dim. What does that mean? I can tell you what many theologians believe. She was ugly. Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you, baby. Why are all y'all looking up here saying it up this way? Peter and John were called unlearned and ignorant men, Acts 4:13. David was a murderer and an adulterer. There is no excuse for you. But yet God said about David that he was a man after his own heart. See, God doesn't qualify, or God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God's called, ordained, and uses people that are less than perfect. Thank God. Everybody I read in the Bible had some kind of a limp, had some kind of an issue, had some kind of a situation. But God knows how allow you to rise above it. So you got to recognize, church, that don't let your limp doesn't have to defeat you. Point number two is this. Don't let your limp doesn't have to define you. You are not who they say you are. Just because you have a limp, just because you have a physical or disability doesn't mean it doesn't have to define who you are. Your weakness doesn't have to define you, but rather your ability to rise above it and beyond it. Quit taking a back seat. Listen, I'm for education. I'm in debt today because of my children's education. If it wasn't for my children, I'd be so much better off. Woo! God bless you, though, those of you who have 4 and 5 and 6. You know, when you got two parents on one, that's not even real parenting. Y'all can double cover. Y'all can double that person. I mean, what's she going to get away with? Both of y'all. But you go to two parents, then you got to go man-to-man coverage. You get three kids, then you got to go to zone coverage. You get more than four, you can give everything. You just don't let them get behind you. Just give them everything up front. Just don't let them get the long play behind you. How many know what I'm talking about? Pastor, what do I do when I get six or seven? You're gonna need to call some help. Amen. Jacob refused to allow his limp to define him or to take on a somebody feel sorry for me attitude. There's an old song. Now I'm gonna test some people's age. How many remember this old country song? Somebody done somebody wrong song. It make me feel alone. But that's the way some of us take on. Oh, say that everybody did me wrong. Get over it. He had to make a decision to lean on the goodness and the mercy of God as his crutch. Everybody in this room has not had the perfect life. Everybody in this room, if you have, the only person who's had a perfect life is maybe a baby so far. But come on, but even the baby hadn't. Who calls a perfect life pooping on yourself? Right? He chose to have an overcoming optimism, a belief that God is greater than my circumstances. He had a faith that said, with God on my side, nothing is impossible. You have to make up your mind that you're not going to be sidetracked, kicked to the back of the bus, hindered in your pursuit of God and the kingdom purposes and promises of him. Refuse to let go of God or of the altar until God blesses you. See, that's one of the problems with the church today. Is we come to the altar area. Well, first of all, we think that everybody that comes up here is all messed up. Let me tell you something. Everybody sitting out there and all the way up on stage, everybody's messed up. So I would rather come and trade my joy or trade my sorrows and trade my burdens for what God has. But the problem with so many of us is we let go of the altar before the altar alters us. Ooh, that's good. That's tweetable right there. Too many of us let go of the altar before the altar alters us. We need to hang on to the altar until the altar alters us. Shake off what the world has tried to define you. Instead of being called a loser, they're now called a winner. Instead of being beat up and beat down, now they're blessed beyond belief. Instead of an underachiever, they become an overcomer. Instead of a cripple with a limp, you're more than a conqueror. Instead of weak and frail, declare, I'm a warrior and I fight. Instead of a woman beater, they became a promise keeper. Instead of a deadbeat dad, they became a father to the fatherless. Do not let the world tell you who you are. Let the word of God declare who you are. Hey, some folks thought, you would never make it. You would never survive. But God. And you did. And you did. Oh, they'll never make it out of this. The devil is a liar. Be on the losing side. They're always going to be on the losing end of life. But God, you surprised us all. And you're living the abundant life. You're living your best life. And people don't know how you got there. It was only by the grace of God. Always be the ugly duckling. They're always going to do that. No, but God, they are amazed at your beauty and your grace. The world said, they're always going to be down and out, but God said, you're going to be up and coming. They're always going to be a drunk, always an addict. Now you addicted to Jesus and you're drunk in the Holy Ghost. Never going to amount to a hill of beans, but God said, I'm going to give you a hill and all the beans that are in the hill. You got to declare. You got to choose. Oh, you're always going to be on the outside, but God gave you a family and new friends and a purpose. You know, there are some people I'm closer to than in my spiritual walk with God, and I'm closer to some of my friends than I am my family. Pastor, struggle through life, but the truth is the matter. Your struggle, but with God, and you prevailed. See, I'm on the winning side, church. Quit allowing your limp to define you, to defeat you. All right, point number three is this. Your limp doesn't have to destroy you. I've been preaching about that all day, all morning already. It doesn't have to destroy you. Too many people over time have made shipwreck of their life simply because they felt like they couldn't measure up to the expectations of people around them. God, deliver us from the expectation of people. God, deliver me from the expectation of people. As a result, they feel like a failure. And they're of no value to those about them. And even God. And as a result, they give up on life themselves. Don't point at them if you know they're here. Satan's goal is to destroy you. That's his goal. To destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy your self-esteem. His diabolical plan is to bring you down, man. That's his plan. To steal your joy. To rob you from the power of faith. Or at minimum, render you ineffective. Well, the devil's trying to possess me. No, if he can just render you ineffective. That's right. He just don't want you to do anything. Understand that he never gives up. Understand, he's a loser and wants you to be a loser. The good news for us today is that you can overcome your limp. The good news for us today is that Jesus can lift you up out of your weakness into his strength. He can cause your limp to be a springboard into what God wants you to have. You know why? Because some of what you've been through, now you can turn around, ye which are converted, and strengthen your brethren. You've been through it, and you can look back and say, oh man, let me tell you, I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where you are because I was there. But let me tell you how God helped me through it. And now that I'm on the other side of that trouble, I can tell you that there is life after tragedy. There is life after trouble. There is life after what you're going through. Point number four is this. Your limp doesn't have to determine your future. Your limp doesn't have to determine your future. God is thinking about you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts will give you a future. Not to harm you, but to give you a purpose, a future and a hope. God has a plan for your future, irregardless of your limp. You know, I think about this in my own life. I've told this story multiple times, but I remember when my district overseer told me that I would never make it in the church of God. Here I am. Here I am. He said, you'll never make it in the church of God. Now this and $5 will get you a cup of coffee somewhere. But I'm the chairman of the State Council of Florida. What does that mean? That I am the chairman of the top governing body of the Church of God in Florida. But they said I would never make it in the Church of God. Listen, I'm not looking for man to promote me. I'm not looking for man to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. I'm looking to God, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Why? Because I know that my limp doesn't determine my future. I've told this story before. We were in 2004. Me and my wife had the opportunity to go to Jamaica and be a part of a leadership a training. And I was only there because the person they asked couldn't go, and they asked me to go in their stead. We're sitting around the table. I'll never forget it. We had done the leadership and we had finished everything, and we were sitting out here having dinner. And I knew that in the Church of God, it's not a matter of if you graduated from Lee, if you're anybody. It's a matter of when. And so we were sitting around with all the muckety mucks, big shots, and it started. Hey, what year did you graduate Lee? Oh, I graduated cumma sum laude in 2000, you know, whatever. And it just started going around. I'm thinking, I graduated, thank the Lord, out of high school. And everybody had a year when they graduated. Then they got to my wife and I. And when they asked me, before I could speak, my wife spoke. She said, oh, we're not educated, we just anointed. Come on, somebody. And again, I'm not against education because I'm in debt for education. I believe in education, but I'm telling you that I could have let my limbs go. I don't belong in that circle. I don't belong in this circle. I don't belong in that circle. But I refuse to let my lack of education or my lack of refinement or my lack of whatever my limp may be at that time to dictate where God is taking me, because God knows about me. He knows my name. He knows your name, and he knows where he wants to take you. So get over yourself and other people. Who do this for me. Look at your neighbor around you and say, I'm about to get over you. I'm just about to get over you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God has not forgotten you. He hadn't forgotten the dream that he's put in your heart. He hadn't forgot. Let me give you this, my last slide here. There are still some promises I'm waiting on. And if it's not fulfilled yet, I know the journey ain't over. The journey ain't over if it ain't fulfilled, if God said it. See, now I couldn't say that if mama said it. I couldn't say that if daddy said it. But when I know that God said it, then I know that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. By all rights, some of you sitting in this room today should not be here. You weren't supposed to live. You weren't supposed to make it out. You should be in a loony bin. Quit pointing at people. You should be in jail. You should be strung up and strung out. Tripping out and wigging out. Some of you, the devil told you was going to lose your mind. You weren't supposed to survive. You should have lost your mind and be committed. You should be hung over. You should be mourning. You should be bitter. But God. But God, but God, but God. You know, 69 is young, and it's getting younger and younger the older I get. But at 69, shouldn't have had heart trouble. At 69, shouldn't have had a stroke. At 69. We could talk about all the things that Brother Jones should have been bitter about, but instead of praising God that I'm still here. Listen to me, church. We've got to come to the realization that God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil, and they have not swapped positions. They have not changed positions. God is still God, and the devil is still bad. And no matter what I've walked through, no matter who has walked on me and stomped on me and who has neglected me and abused me and overlooked me and passed me over, there's one who will not neglect me. His name is Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The arms of Christ are open wide. Forgiveness, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Arms are open wide. Forgiveness is brought with some have lived their entire life day after day with a limp, an impediment, a struggle, a negative mindset, a sense of failure. when I accepted the Lord, when I accepted the call to preach the gospel, my dad found out that I felt like I was called to preach, and my dad pastors a little small Assembly of God church. And he asked me to preach. So I was doing my due diligence, studying to get a message together. I was studying the Bible. But remember, I hadn't always been saved. I mean, you was a preacher's kid. I was a typical preacher's kid back in those days. I was a heathen. I never confessed salvation. I wasn't a hypocrite. I just told people, you saved? No, I ain't saved. You live right? No, I don't live right. And I dated this old girl. And she knew I didn't live right. But we had been broke up because, listen to me, young people. We broke up because I realized that I couldn't be saved and date her. I just couldn't date her and be saved. Why? Because familiarity was there of our old life, and she didn't want to change. And I knew I had to change. So I broke up with her. And about 6-8 months later, let's see. Yeah, about 8 or 9 months later, I'm about to preach my first sermon. It's maybe 6 months. She calls me out of the blue. We didn't have no cell phone. She called my house. She said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just reading. What you reading? Well, the Bible. Oh. Well, why are you reading the Bible? Well, it's good for you to read the Bible. Well, somebody told me that you was going to preach. I said, no. No, I'm gonna get up and talk a little bit. Well, that sounds like preaching. No. I'm just going to share some scripture and just talk a little bit. Well, I declare that sounds like preaching. I said, okay, it is preaching. She says, but don't you remember when? And you know, when we did this and that, and don't you remember? Don't you? How? She said these words. How can you get up and preach to anybody? But thank God, as I was reading my Bible, one of the first scriptures I've ever underlined in my little Bible that somebody gave me was 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then I underlined another one that said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I shared that scripture with her. And she hung up on me. And next week, or 2 weeks later, I went and spoke at my dad's church on a little Wednesday night. Things have changed that night. I used 26 different passages of scripture and preached a total of about 8 minutes. I know some of y'all are praying for that anointing, that 8-minute anointing to come back on me. Lord, grant it, God. But I could have allowed what she said to determine my life. Now listen, please understand me. I'm not saying that you ought to live contrary to the word of God and discount what godly people are saying to you. Because the Bible teaches us in Galatians, when you see your brethren overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go and restore brethren to the faith. So I'm not saying live however you want to and just tell them, I'm a child of God, I do what I want, and blah, 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 blah. No. Search your heart. But when they're just trying to keep you down because I got to quit. Spirit Life Team, come on. But here, let me tell you something about people. When people enter your life, they want you to stay the same way you are when they entered your life. And when you begin to change and especially advance, they begin to say things like, oh, you think you something now. Oh, you think you better than us now. How many know what I'm talking about? Especially if you've been an addict. Oh, now you think you better than us because you ain't strung up out. All it's going to take. No, shut up. Today I'm going to get over my limp. I'm overcoming my limp. I'm overcoming what everybody said is wrong with me. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, stand with me in this place.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.